fed by streams of people emerging from the lanes of Old City Srinagar. The tide of rage wound its way along the bends of the Jhelum, past Lal Chowk and Khanqah-e-Mawla to the new Martyrs Graveyard at Eidgah. Ashfaq Majid Wani was an unlikely hero. The kidnapper of former Chief Minister Mehbooba Mufti's sister, Rubia Saeed, and executioner of Kashmiri Pandits, Wani had accidentally blown himself up with a grenade during his only known attack on Indian forces in 1990, a botched ambush outside the Firdaus cinema. Even lesser martyrs were entitled to glory, though, that first spring of the long jihad in March 1990. Mothers would put mehndi on their sons going to Pakistan, the scholar Navneeta Behra has recorded. Children carried placards saying, "Indian dogs, go home." Late last month, another martyr, Aqib Mushtaq Bhatt, was buried at a small graveyard in southern Kashmir, killed by police just days after he allegedly shot Sanjay Sharma four times outside the home the Kashmiri Pandit bankered had refused to leave through decades of carnage. This time, there were no mourners. Faced with vanishing support from a crisis-mired Pakistan and the loss of legitimacy among young people, Kashmir's jihadist movement is disintegrating. The number of ethnic Kashmiris active in jihadist groups, intelligence officials have told the print, is down to 28, the lowest in a decade. The Hizbul Mujahideen, once the numerically largest jihadist group in Kashmir, with thousands of cadre, has all but disappeared. This isn't the first time Kashmiri jihadism has faced such a crisis. But on each of those occasions, it was rescued by missteps and misjudgments by India. Emerging from his home in Rawalpindi 3 weeks ago, Hizbul Mujahideen chief Muhammad Yusuf Shah delivered a funeral oration for his Lieutenant Bashir Ahmad Peer, one of the earliest members of the organization and among the latest in a string of jihadists to be killed in what some suspect to be Indian intelligence operations. "Till we have a drop of blood remaining," Shah vowed, "we will not sell out Kashmir." Even as the patriarchs of the Hizb commanded the Kashmir Jihad from Pakistan, their children had made their peace with the state their fathers had vowed to overthrow. Leading up to the Islamist-led youth uprisings that began in 2010, this accommodation made the leadership's call for sacrifice seem hollow. Two of Shah's five sons, Sayyid Shakil Ahmad and Shahid Yusuf, are now in prison facing trial on terror finance charges. Till last year, though, both men were government employees. Shakil served as a nursing assistant at the prestigious Sher-e-Kashmir Institute of Medical Sciences, or SKIMS, and Yusuf was in the agriculture department. Another son, Wahid Yusuf, works as a surgeon at SKIMS. He was alleged by former Research and Analysis Wing Chief A.S. Dulat to have obtained his seat at a prestigious government-run medical college because of a backdoor deal between his father and the Intelligence Bureau. The fourth son, Sayyid Muid, worked until his termination last year with the government-run Entrepreneurship Development Institute. And the fifth son, Sayyid Javed, works as a computer technician at Saibug's Zonal Education Office. The oldest surviving son of his second-in-command Ghulam Nabi Khan runs a labor contracting business which serves Indian Army units, believe it or not, stationed around Pahalgam. Nazir Ahmad Khan and his younger siblings Irfan and Ilyas are not believed to ever have been involved with jihadism. And Hameen Bhatt, the only son of his third-in-command Zafar Bhatt, is a farmer who lives quietly at home. Even as the Islamist-led youth protests began to build up in Kashmir after 2010, the graying jihadist leadership in Rawalpindi appeared compromised and out of touch. A new generation of Kashmir-based leaders like Ashiq Hussain Faktu or Asia Andrabi became icons for this younger generation of Islamists, together with organizations like the Lashkar-e-Taiba and Jaish-e-Mohammed. Ever since August 2000, the Hizb had been battling internal divisions led by commanders who were seeking dialogue with India. "Don't shoot," his second-in-command Ghulam Rasool Dar famously shouted out to photographers ahead of a meeting with top government officials. "My life is in danger." He meant photographs, of course. But the divisions did not end even after Dar was assassinated. The Jamaat-e-Islami, the political party from which the Hizb had emerged, also became increasingly fractious. For pro-dialogue Hizb commanders, the bourgeois lives of the children and grandchildren of Jamaat patriarch Sayyid Ali Shah Gilani discredited his calls for jihad without end. In 1997, the head of the Jamaat-e-Islami, Ghulam Muhammad Bhatt, even called for an end to gun culture. To many, both in the party and the Hizbul Mujahideen, it seemed the time had come to make a political deal that would somehow extricate them from a grim, pointless and bloody cul-de-sac. To make things worse, Pakistan's inter-service intelligence scaled back support for the Hizb and shut down training camps after the Mumbai attacks in 2611. It was a decision Shah bitterly complained about at a rally held in Muzaffarabad in 2010. Thus, the Hizb found itself ill-placed to capitalize as youth Islamism rose. The organization, moreover, hemorrhaged top commanders dispatched from Pakistan to lead operations inside Kashmir, including big names like Ghulam Rasool Khan, Ghulam Rasool Dar, and Suhail Faisal. Yasin Ittu, a younger commander radicalized in the course of multiple prison terms, who the Hizb hoped would revive its fortunes in southern Kashmir, was killed in 2017. The most visible Hizb commander to emerge in the period leading up to the 2016 uprising was Riaz Naiku, the 1985-born son of a tailor in Begpura village of South Kashmir's Pulwama. Though he proved adroit in his use of social media to draw recruits, the organization continued to be militarily ineffectual. Fed up with the Hizb, Naiku's two top recruits, social media icon Burhan Wani and Zakir Rashid Bhatt, drifted away to other jihadist organizations with deeper ties to global jihadism. Though Burhan's killings would unleash massive street violence across southern Kashmir, the Hizb failed to turn this into an on-ground revival. 2 years before he was killed in 2020, Naiku publicly complained of lack of support from Pakistan, which he said had led to shortages of weapons and training. Educated at the local government school in Malangpura near Pulwama, Aqib was among the handful of young people who was drawn into the Hizb after 2019. Recruited as a courier by Saifullah Mir, an ITI-educated pharmacologist who succeeded Naiku, Aqib dropped out of college to join the Hizb in 2021. Kashmir police investigators believe he was responsible for shooting two migrant workers in Bihar, Patleshwar Kumar and his father Jaku Chaudhary, last year. Local Hizb commander Zubair Wani was, however, choked of funds and weapons, and Aqib soon became frustrated at the group's inability to train and equip its recruits. Earlier generations of Hizb cadre had received extensive military training. Aqib learned only to fire a pistol into unarmed civilians at point-blank range. Early this year, Aqib thus joined the Lashkar-e-Taiba, only of course to end up dead after Sharma's killing, together with fellow recruit Ejaz Bhatt. Following the War of 1971, Pakistan cut support to jihadist groups in Kashmir, such as Al-Fatah and the National Liberation Front, names we barely remember today. This seemed to end the prospect of armed struggle against the Indian state. Prime Minister Indira Gandhi secured a deal with former Kashmir Chief Minister Sheikh Mohammed Abdullah, which guaranteed New Delhi's status as the hegemon. The chokehold New Delhi obtained on politics in Kashmir, though, came at a cost because it ceded all opposition space to Islamists. The political despotism built by the National Conference with Congress support pushed many young people to take up arms. Islamist-led youth protests began breaking out in southern Kashmir as early as 1973, with fateful consequences. The crossing of the line of control was as mystical for Kashmiri youth as the eve of St. Agnes to a virgin. Nazir Gilani, a former sympathizer of the Jammu and Kashmir Liberation Front, wryly recalled. Kashmiri youth, Gilani noted, seem mesmerized by a belief that a solution to all their ills on the Indian side of Kashmir lay on the Pakistani side. The risk today is that the hard-won gains against terrorism could be frittered away by a political vacuum. New Delhi needs to beware that outcome. I'm Praveen Swamy and I'm National Security Editor of The Print. Thank you for watching Security Code.